Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Robert Childs, Chancellor of the iCollege at the National Defense University. So, Bob, the iCollege at NDU promotes global connectedness through a diverse student body and opportunities to communicate with information leaders from around the world. You've pointed that out in our conversation. Would you tell us more about your international outreach? How do you build capacity in that regard? And what are some of the best practices you've shared?
Okay, I would say the first thing are our visitors to National Defense University as a whole. The number of visitors, international groups that come through is huge. I want to say it's over 200 a year. One of the things that we did, as I mentioned earlier, we've worked with NATO and the defense colleges there in building a cyber reference curriculum. They actually came to us and they knew we were doing a lot. And they said, can you put something together? If we want to design a curriculum, what should we look at? Okay, should we look at law, compliance? And if we do, what are the topics? So Dr. John Christian for us took care of that. Some of the things that we're doing now, we have a conference that's coming up. We're working with the French American Foundation in October. And they have a private session for a couple days, and then they have an open forum that's larger. And we're putting that on the 4th of October. And we're going to take some of the things that we learned from Cyber Beacon and put that in that area. In November, CENTCOM is having a big conference. And it's supposed to be a lot of issues, but it's going to focus on cyber. And last year, we participated. And there were a lot of questions that were directed at me as the chancellor of the iCollege, like, Dr. Childs, you've been one that hasn't talked about policy. You've offered us something. And that's important. These countries are looking for leadership. They look to the U.S. I've talked to Madeleine Creedon, who is the Assistant Secretary for Strategic Alliances in DOD. And she's talked about that. A lot of countries want to deal with the United States, but it's like anybody else. You have to have a common understanding of things. So we're trying to help in that area. We have six students coming in to our 14-week program starting in September. We have one from Brazil. We have one from Armenia. We have one from Taiwan. We have a couple from Pakistan coming in. We just graduated in the master's program an individual from the Czech Republic. So we're building relationships this way. My academic dean, Dr. McCauley, has been invited over to Romania. And you may remember we helped Romania develop a Chief Information Officer Academy. So we've kept those relationships alive. We're in touch with Peter Ho, back from our first conference. He was the head of civil service. He's now head of critical national infrastructure in Singapore. So we've contacted him to see how we can work out that way. We're working with the centers at NDU. We've got a Center for Hemispheric Studies who has us working with Peru on a possible conference.
Well, Bob, you've done a lot with the iCollege, and we talked a lot about it today, the number of transformations you've shepherded, and you're a real champion for the iCollege, and it's been recognized. I think it's unprecedented. For 5 years running in total, you have been recognized by the Fed 100 Award. Could you tell us a little bit more about this recognition? What have you done to consistently achieve in this area?
I've gotten recognized because of the smart people that work for me. I think the head of organizations either receive the credit or the blame for good or bad. And that's just the way it is. And you know, you stand on the backs of those people that have gone before you and that support you. And I've got very smart people. What I will take credit for is hiring good people. And not only hiring them, you have to get a critical mass. And this is another thing I learned from Mike Krzyzewski. If you read his books, and I've had a chance to personally talk to him, you can be greater than the sum of your parts. He talks about the fist and how strong the fist can be. But if you break it into fingers, you know, it can be fairly weak. And he also talked, one time I wrote him a letter and I was very impressed. He wrote back to me and I've kept that. And it was, I get passionate when I watch sports. I mean, you don't want to watch a game with me. I I yell at the TV set, I throw things, you know, and Duke basketball is one thing, you know, Redskins football, Washington Nationals. Anyway, what you try to do is you try to get a critical mass. And that's what he told me in a letter. He said, what I need is a critical mass. I need players that are competing for playing time. In other words, if I show up and I know I'm playing all the time and I don't have to put out, yeah, I may do okay. But if I know every time I show up at practice, I'm competing for playing time the next night or a couple nights downstream, you're going to have a more competitive, better team, ultimately, particularly if you work together. And I'd mentioned that earlier about you don't have a star can evolve, but you need your role players to support those people. So hiring the right people and getting them doing the right job and then recognizing them and letting them run is a big thing. So you create that environment for them. You give them a general direction, and that's what Paul Gaffney was at. Paul would give you a general direction. Mike Dunn, who followed Paul Gaffney as president, he was big on outreach, okay? So that was his general direction. Lieutenant General Wilson, Fran Wilson, followed Mike, and she was big on international outreach. She went with the international students and really did a lot for this country in building relationships with the international students. And then she was followed by Admiral Rondo, who really started working with, in particular, the Asian countries, the ASEAN conference of all them and pulling them together. And that was followed through. General Martin went to that conference this year. The year before, Admiral Rondo had hosted it. Well, anyway, you give people the general direction, and then you can take the lead. And fortunately, I've worked for people that have given me the latitude. You know, I look at the general lead and I don't need any more guidance. You know, I can fall under that and align myself with that. And then you got to celebrate successes. And I guess that's the hard thing. We're about to come on our 25th anniversary, which is sponsored by the NDU Foundation. And that's important to us. I talked about the 20th. The last 5 years are what I would consider the Camelot experience for the college. I mean, we've reached a pinnacle of international recognition and reputation that has had a washback on all of National Defense University. We've built relationships, we've brought in technologies, we've brought in partners and everything that will have a lasting impact. So the big question now is, where do we go from here? It's the old S-curve. When you're at the top, how do you stay there? When do you jump to the next part in the S-curve? And literally, that's what we're trying to do now. We've kind of evolved into this cyber leadership thing. And right now, we are right there. We may not be recognized as that yet. In fact, we actually have discussions with the joint professional military people saying, you need to be more like us. And my argument is, no, you need to look at your content and what's more important, what you've been teaching or cyber. Where's the world going? Is Keith Alexander right? Is Lieutenant General Mike Flynn right over in the intelligence area? You know, is Clapper right? You know, is McConnell right? Who's right in this area? And I think leadership, the problem with leadership today is, like myself, most leaders have grown up in the era where cyber wasn't important and we're kind of trying to learn it, but we're the ones making the decisions, okay? The problem with the youth is they don't understand the political implications of the decisions that they make in this area. So you have a real gap. Somehow you have to bring that together, and hopefully we can do that. I don't have an answer yet, but I'm trying to figure out how. Oh, I'm concerned about it, really.
Well, Bob, there's two other things before we close this segment that I find very unique about getting back to the curricula is the CFO Academy and your labs. Really, you wouldn't expect an iCollege, even though I know you go beyond information leaders, to house a CFO Academy.
Okay, to make a long story short, Danny Werfel and Tina Jonas, who was DOD comptroller, Danny was OMB.
Comptroller.
Yeah. Wanted to establish a strategic school for chief financial officers. And I use the word strategic. They had great budget schools within the services. The problem with the budget person, they look at a budget and they say, here's where we can cut, here's where we can save, here's what we can do, here's what this costs. Sometimes you have to put costs up front to get things done. We all know the saying, you can pay me now or pay me later. We all know that the acquisition process is built for large military systems. It's not designed for information technology. And looking at the competencies of a chief financial officer and a CIO, they're pretty similar. And these two people, if you think about it, the CFO and the CIO are supposed to both be at the table, although CIOs are not at the table as much as they should be. We have that situation. So we thought putting them in the classroom, and it's really worked. They're learning, CIOs and CFOs are learning so much from each other. Now, the third leg of the triangle, which I haven't completed and budget has stopped me, is the chief human relations officer. That was going to be my triumvirate because that's the third part you have to get in there because it's budget, personnel, and IT that drive all costs and decisions. But I haven't gotten to that point. But if you also look at the DIME concept, the DIME concept, and we teach this at all the schools, the diplomatic, informational, military, and economic part of power, a nation's power. But if you look at the I part, information, it's right in the middle. If you look at Arab Spring, diplomatic. You know, you look at military, secure system. Drones are replacing fighter aircraft and everything. And the economics, we talked about the banks and everything that's going on there in the financial system. So the I, it almost is a smaller D and a huge I. And it, so that's why positioning the college, I talked about positioning and how critical it was. You can kind of see how that works.
And offering these programs really make it that way.
It really does. And putting the people together. Some people said, well, why did you get the CFO Academy? It doesn't make any sense. And I said, you got to go back and look at the history. If you look at the history, it makes total sense. To pull it out would not be a smart move. In fact, that was a discussion during the budget cutting exercises. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they talked about pulling it out from us and possibly putting it at another school or something. That just didn't make sense to the comptroller. You know, we talked to Mr. Hale about that, and he wasn't for that at all.
What does the future hold for NDU's iCollege? We will ask its chancellor, Dr. Robert Childs, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.